You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Steve Woodruff. Steve is known as the King of Clarity. In a world full of noise and distraction, Steve helps businesses craft a message so clear that they can be heard, remembered, and referred. In over 30 years of business experience, he has consulted with companies ranging from solo startups to top five pharma. You can learn more about him and his work at clarityfuel.com. Steve, welcome to On Brand.
Nick, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I am happy to, and I'm happy to read that bio because every now and then a guest or two has noted you have a great radio announcer voice, and to be fair about that, I will say that not all bios provide wonderful announcer scripts, but yours, I think, is the first time that I've ever had the opportunity to non-ironically say, in a world, which...
I noticed which, you did it. You did the right emphasis on that.
Good. Well, it snuck up on me there, and that's a great way to start any day, is in a world.
Yep. It's funny because I've been told a million times I have a radio voice, and I've never been a DJ. I've not done radio. I have a voice and a face for radio. And so I like reading stuff like that. And sometimes when I find awful stuff, particularly jargon and terrible things, I like doing dramatic readings of it for the audience. They seem to love dramatic readings of utter nonsense jargon words.
Exactly. So sometimes that can be a useful tool. But you're in a world, I think, like I said, non-ironically, it's a fair lead-in to what you follow that up with, it being this world full of noise and distraction. It's funny. You have your book out, which we'll talk about, and the subheading of my book, a brand now, is How to Stand Out in a Crowded, Distracted World. So this in a world, this world that we find ourselves in, it is noisier than ever. I know you've called it the greatest opponent that we have, and I think that that's great framing, because a lot of times we think about competition, the market, but I think the overall noise level is one that can't be ignored.
Well, if you boil it down to a phrase that was launched several decades ago, the attention economy, what we're all competing for, what we're after, is gaining attention. And now, with the explosion of digital noise and sensory input and social media and all this stuff, there's more and more distraction, more and more noise, and the one thing that never really increases is the scarce commodity called attention. So I think the biggest challenge any of us have as companies and brands and consultants is, how do we effectively secure the attention of people in the midst of this environment of exponentially increasing noise?
And, you know, I think that the dynamic of identifying that this noise is a huge obstacle is key. But the other kind of follow-up dynamic is, there's more and more distraction, more and more noise. What doesn't increase is attention. And I feel like a lot of times the counterintuitive salve that we try to put on that is more stuff. is is more messaging, more complex messaging. Oh, wait, there's a thing that they don't know that is another part that we have to add on to everything else that, that we're already saying. And I would guess someone called the King of Clarity would say that that's not the way of scaling this obstacle.
That's the most common nightmare I see in business communications, is this attempt to try to communicate too much. And there are a couple reasons why that's a real bad idea. One is that people have very limited attention span, and the more you throw at them, the less they're able to process it and the more inclined they are to just delete or click off. But another reason is we actually create confusion in the minds of people because they can't maintain an idea in their heads of 20 different things we do or even 5 different things we do. So we've got to distill it down and make it really, really simple for people, or there's no way they'll understand, they'll retain, and particularly when you bring the real business ROI to this, be able to refer us, because we all know that referrals are the best way to get business. And unless we're simple and clear, people just simply won't know how to refer us.
You know, that point is the being able to remember something and then be able to share it to me. That's something you can't unsee, because to me that makes the case so clearly, is that it's so hard to retain and remember anything. I mean, even as people are listening to this podcast, if you just pause for a moment and think about how many different things that you've seen and heard today and how much, how well you remember any of it.
Yep. So let me just check and see if you have, as a branding guy, a thick skin, because I looked at your site before we started.
I have a thick skin.
All right. So I looked at your site, and it has an awful lot of stuff, a lot of lists of different things. You've got these 4 major categories of strategic consulting, content marketing, social media marketing, training and speaking, lots of bullet points. There's a lot of very impressive content, but the most standout thing you've done is not on your main site, in my opinion, Brand Driven Digital. It's on your Nick Westergaard site, where you say, Nick's been called the Indiana Jones of branding and marketing. With a foot in the college classroom and a foot in the field, he knows what works and why. And your header there says, educator, author, Iowan. So to me, this is what stands out from you among 1,000 other social media or branding guys or consultants, is you're an educator, you're an author, and you've planted this wonderful image in my mind. You're Indiana Jones. And if I'm going to pick out, you know, from 10 different people that do branding and marketing, I want to work with Indiana Jones, darn it. And I think that is the most brilliant piece that you've done.
Well, that is, I will say, you asked about thick skin. I will say that's great to hear, because what I was going to add on, but I didn't want to sound defensive or like I was trying to hedge things, we are working on a redesign of branddrivendigital.com, and our internal thinking is that it is too complex. It's a few years old. And the thinking also was that the message of who we are and what we do is better distilled on my personal website. So that's
good. We agree.
We agree. And this is a rarity that I get to sit on the metaphorical couch and learn and get some advice that that I could put to work. But I mean,
well,
that's
you use the word metaphor, and that's one of the most important pieces of my work and my business. Is I believe, and I know you do, that if you're going to help create a brand, it's a distilling process. Distill. Get it down to clear concepts, clear words. But I always try, as the ultimate expression of a brand, is to distill it down to a metaphor or an analogy or some kind of word picture, because that's the shortcut to the memory hooks in people's minds. If you give me 10 bullet points about branding, I won't remember it. If you say I'm the Indiana Jones of branding, or if I say I'm the King of Clarity, that capstone analogy is what gets us into people's mind and makes us referable. I'm going to refer people to Indiana Jones. I'm not going to refer them to, you know, brand XYZ, whatever thing.
Well, and metaphor, I don't think, gets enough credit, because I feel like what we talk about a lot, sort of the buzzword out there, is the importance of story and all of the powerful effects that story has on our brain, all the neurotransmitters that fire, all these great things. But what a metaphor is, what you just described, is really kind of a mini story. It's a mini story, and it also borrows on something else that has... It's kind of a story reference.
Correct. It's a shortcut, basically. And that's why it's so beautiful, is that if you say, I am the Mercedes of web designers, for instance, if somebody was a web designer, by stealing the concept of Mercedes, that means you're high end, you're expensive, you're exclusive, you're the best. And I don't have to say it. All I have to do is steal Mercedes. So, and I don't view this as in opposition to stories. I actually have four things I try to develop for anybody that's seeking to get their identity and their message straight. One is statements, very clear single sentence statements that express the fact. The next is stories. What are the stories that reinforce what you're doing and where you're going? The next is snippets, which for me are basically hashtags. What are the keywords that really are the metadata around which anybody's going to remember you? And then finally, the symbol, which is the analogy. And if you can put your brand and your identity together into those four human-ready formats, you are ready to communicate for sales, for marketing, for internal onboarding, for every aspect of the company, both inside and outside. And that's my passion, getting to clarity so that the entire company can be aligned and the message can go out effectively.
Well, and all of that, to come full circle back to the point that was in your bio and that you made early on, is that it does that in a way that really those four things are the building blocks of being able to remember something.
Correct.
You've got short sentences. You've got stories that reinforce that with all the power that we just mentioned. The keywords, those individual pieces. I was just thinking about that earlier, that these, I know branding author Patrick Hanlon talks about brands having sacred words, but I think having some of those special words that mean something are key. And then this idea that I don't know... that's been discussed here on the podcast before, the symbol, the metaphor, the shortcut that again makes it easy to refer Indiana Jones.
Well, all of these are built on brain science that I outline in the book, and particularly on one function of the brain called the reticular activating system, which is everybody has, and it's a filtering mechanism. So the job of the RAS is to keep us sane with all the sensory input that we have. A lot of it has to be filtered out, or we'd end up being quivering blobs of jello on the floor, unable to process anything. So the RAS is our sanity filter, but what it's looking for is something that's new and different and intriguing and relevant. That's what the RAS is wanting to find. So in communicating our brand, either on a website or a sales presentation or a networking meeting or whatever, we're going to get maybe 15 to 30 seconds of RAS time. And if we can't grab attention, be relevant, and get a shortcut in, we're done. We're just part of the background noise. And that's why I think the snippets and the symbols and the key words, the stories, the metaphors, those are the things that let us be RAS ready, so to speak, so that we can get our point across in the very, very short window of time that we have.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I think in that short window of time, we try to basically drop ship our entire company history in this enormous, unwieldy shipping box.
And, oh, that's a perfect illustration. Actually, I've got to steal that one.
Yeah, well, and it's just, especially when you put it that way, it's just so unlikely that this is anybody that or anything that anybody can do anything with.
Correct.
But these four pieces, and I like earlier you talked about hooks, because the great thing about a hook is that we can build a latch that grabs onto that hook as well with those four things that you notice. So with a system like that, is there a brand you find yourself pointing to that's a great example of, you know, who does this really well?
Oh, there are some. I see a ton of companies that really do it poorly, and that's unfortunate. But of course, that's job security. There are some individuals that do a great job, and they're not all necessarily brand people. So one of the illustrations I use in my book of a company that does it bad and a company that does it real well in a same industry is UPS versus FedEx. So when I wrote my first marketing blog post 12 and a half years ago, it was a critique of UPS, and it was something like how to waste 100,000 billboards. Let me ask you, what does it say on the side of a UPS truck, Nick?
UPS, right?
Nope, they have a message there. What is it?
Oh, boy, you know, I home office in a cul-de-sac, and I feel like the UPS, and I have windows that face the street. I that shows how well it works on me.
Well, it's how well it works on everybody. They get eyeballs of every human being in the United States and other parts of the planet multiple times, and nobody knows what their truck says. It says, Worldwide Services. Think about how generic that is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Synchronizing the World of Commerce, which is a message tailored only to supply chain executives. They know what that means. The rest of us don't. And they are wasting these moving brown billboards with these messages that nobody understands. But then look at FedEx. FedEx, the world on time.
Yeah.
That tells me the two things I need to know. They cover the world. They do it on time. Boom. That's it. Every time I see the world on time, I smile. Every time I see a UPS truck, I growl.
Well, that's really interesting. And again, you've had a couple of these revelatory moments that have turned around and asked me questions that I think illustrate these points effectively. And the other thing about that is that it's a extremely important touch point, and it seems like that message on the FedEx side is so accessible, and UPS, like you talk about the supply chain market, there's so many that aren't that. Is that the right place, the right time for that message?
Correct. Now, the message, in fact, is a very important message to UPS. They are a supply chain efficiency operations company. So it's one of their best traits. You remember their stupid ad campaign before about loving logistics, which I wanted to throw my TV out the window every time I'd see that one. Because there's only 0.001% of the population that actually needs that message and will understand it. And they can advertise in those journals. You can go after your supply chain executives. Don't put it on the stinking truck where the rest of us are seeing it. Give us something that we can relate to that has a simple emotional human component like FedEx does. And it just boggles my mind that they would waste all that space with a message that's misaimed at the wrong audience, even if it is a valid message.
So you talk a lot about the two moments of truth, introduction and referral. To me, that the trucks are, I mean, have to be the moment of introduction for
correct
for the UPS, for the FedEx, for the respective brands, and that is such an important moment. What do you recommend for capitalizing on that moment?
Well, it comes back down to what we talked about earlier. You have to understand that when somebody comes onto your website or sees your truck or sees your billboard or meets you in a networking meeting or tunes into your sales pitch or your webinar, you've got to understand that you only have a few seconds. And unless you know that, unless you're convinced of that, you're not going to get this right. So that's the first thing, is understanding a little bit of brain science and a little bit of common sense. And then the second thing is, how do I bake in two things right away? I have to bake in attention getting, some way to jar people's minds out of whatever it is they're thinking about, because everybody right now is in a state of inattention unless I change that. And then I've got to show relevance. I've got to show the what's in it for me, because people are in a state of indifference unless I show them something important to them. So in any kind of introduction, if you go into a networking meeting and you introduce yourself, if you can show somebody with a clever use of words, simple words, that you solve a problem that either they or somebody they know might have. For instance, I'll make one up right off the top of my head. So somebody meets you in a networking meeting and they ask the first moment of truth question, you know, Nick, what do you do? And you go, you know, this whole confusing, endless world of digital stuff that businesses have to deal with. Now you're appealing to their emotions. You're talking about something they can relate to. Yeah. I fixed that for businesses. That's simple.
Yeah.
I fixed that. Somebody has to be on the leading edge, and somebody has to keep a foot in the academic world and the business world and digital world. That's me. So if anybody you know is struggling with digital marketing or stuff, you know, I'm the Indiana Jones of branding and marketing. That's it.
Well, well said. Well.
And the second moment of truth, because you've planted all that in the first moment of truth, the second moment of truth is they're talking to their neighbor over the weekend and the guy says, yeah, we're trying to launch a website. It stinks. We're all confused. We don't know what we're doing. And they say, ah, you need to talk to the Indiana Jones. I know him.
Again, it gives them tools for doing that.
Correct.
You also talk about occupying a specific niche in the market and loving your pigeonhole. Why is that so important? It sometimes feels like a commitment folks don't always want to make.
Intuitively, I have found most people do not. They have a very negative, visceral reaction to pigeonhole. I don't want to be pigeonholed. We don't want to lose an opportunity. You know, we want to make sure we keep all our options open. And one of my primary goals of the book is to turn that around and to say, you are going to be pigeonholed. You need to create your own and you need to love your pigeonhole. Here's the fact. Everybody's going to pigeonhole us. It's just the way it is. That's how memory works. The brain works. People are going to store a few sets of data points inside their heads, feelings, impressions, and words, which are going to be attached to us. And that's what they're going to remember. So it doesn't matter whether you want to be pigeonholed. You will be pigeonholed. So what I want to do is I want to craft and design that pigeonhole so you remember the right words, the right terms, the right people that I serve, because that's the way the world works. So I want you to have the correct pigeonhole. And so my job is to craft the snippets and the words and the statements and all of that stuff to get into that pigeonhole. Because here's the thing. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet, and not all of them are your customer or mine. So you're going to have to narrow it down somewhere. And in fact, what you find out is as you're in touch with your strengths and your unique offerings and your unique market opportunities, every one of us occupies or should occupy a relatively small niche where we do our best and most profitable work. And by defining that niche and laying it out and then embracing it, we're setting ourselves up to do our best work for our best customers instead of just grabbing anything that'll produce revenue.
So is that always, I think whenever we talk about a market niche, most are quick to gravitate to it's an industry vertical. Is that always what a market niche is?
No, there are four elements of niche. So one of them is vertical. So let's say you had a tremendous amount of experience in the automobile industry. That's where your contacts, your expertise, your offerings. So that would be your niche. And there are many, many of those. I have a niche for one of my offerings in the pharmaceutical industry. Mm-hmm. But a second element of your niche is, instead of a vertical, I think of it as a horizontal or a domain. So maybe you do training or HR things, and some of those offerings can cross multiple verticals, but they're in this horizontal or sales. So you have to define if you have a domain, and if it is, or if you have more than one, what that is. So sometimes you have a vertical and a domain. You know, I do HR consulting for automobile manufacturers. The next aspect of it is, what's the size of the company? So some people service startups, some people do Fortune 50, some do midsize, some do we work with companies from 2 million to 30 million. We work with companies from 250 employees to 1,000. You want to look at your landscape of customers and say, here is the best size customer that we serve. And then the final thing is both virtual and literal location. Are you local? Are you regional? Are you virtual to serve anybody? Where can people actually put you? Because some people only do work in a certain geographical area. Others can be totally virtual. And so for ourselves and for our employees and for everybody we deal with, we want to sketch out those as many of those four elements as we can, so that the niche is nicely defined and we're doing our best work for the best kinds of customers.
That is great. It's great to have that broken down, because I know that that's one that, as you noted, many grapple with. Steve, as we start to wrap up, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, this will be a little bit of an unexpected answer, but it's been one that's made me smile for years. And that brand is the city I moved to, Nashville. So I went to school here at Vanderbilt in the late 70s. I was a Connecticut boy, and I came to Vanderbilt. And I got sold on Middle Tennessee and the Nashville area, just the culture of it, and I loved it. And then we ended up being away from here for 30 years up in New Jersey, which let's not talk about. And then as we decided to move back to a more affordable, warmer climate, we investigated places, but Nashville just had this tug on me. And I love the feel, the culture of this town. I love its message of welcoming of creatives. It's Music City, but it's more than Music City. And I know how much I do, because every time I fly back into the city and go below a certain level of the clouds and I see Nashville, I smile. It's the weirdest thing. And I guarantee you, I don't smile when I fly into Newark Airport. But every time I come to Nashville Airport, I get this goofy grin on my face, because I have bought into the brand of this place.
I love that, because not every community is everybody has a brand, whether it's good or bad, but communities especially, I think, are missing an opportunity, and it's great that you are connected with your own. Steve, where can folks go to learn more about both the book and who you are and what you do?
So the book is published via Amazon. I've made a very easy short link called claritywins.org that leads directly to the Amazon page where people can order it. It's both ebook or paperback. Okay. And then on Facebook, I have a page called King of Clarity, where I upload various links and short videos. I do 1 to 3 short videos called Clarity Over Coffee each week to address very specific topics. And then, as you mentioned at the top of the show, my website is claritifuel.com.
All right. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Steve, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Nick, it has been a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And a reminder, if you heard something that you liked on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.